Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Huskers lose to the Indiana Hoosiers 56-7. And if you're like me and you like to eat your feelings, go to cpbeef.com and use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, and order steaks, ribs, ground beef, all the beef. You can get it shipped direct to your front door from cpbeef.com, and you can get 25% off using the promo code COMMONFAN. You know what else? The Common Fans are doing the first ever Common Fan tailgate, and yes. Certified Piedmontese will be sponsoring that tailgate and providing us with some burgers and some beef brats for that tailgate. So don't miss out on the opportunity to come hang out with us. We'll be in lot 10. And it's probably going to be a little bit of a game day situation where we have to let you know where we are. We're going to try to be in the northwest corner of lot 10. But anyway, let's put a bow. CPBeef.com, Common Fan promo code for 25% off. You can also go to your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha to get all the best cuts from the butcher shop or some delicious hot food ready to eat as well. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan podcast. Also, make sure to check out our new website, www.commonfan.co. TS Web Services built the site for us. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your web services. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Guys, I got to be honest. I was concerned about Indiana. They came out. They came into the game 6-0. It's their best start since forever. Obviously, they've been really good on offense, really good on defense. You know, I think a lot of Husker fans felt like they hadn't really played anybody. And so, you know, there was a hope and a belief that we might match up well with them. I wasn't feeling like, I know I picked it as a win when we talked to Mitch and we did our predictions. I wasn't feeling like that was necessarily a guarantee. Let me tell you what I didn't have on my bingo card. I didn't have Nebraska coming in completely flat, completely unprepared. Yeah. Completely getting pushed around on both sides of the ball.
And going into a freaking shell
the minute things went south.
Yeah.
Completely. I mean, look, here's the deal. Either they quit, which is not excusable, or they're that bad, right? Or they're that much worse than Indiana.
Which is also inexcusable.
Yeah.
Just this is the worst loss in I don't know how long, guys, because you think about Michigan last year. Okay, Michigan was a national champion and they were stealing everybody's signs.
Yeah, this was worse than that.
This might be worse than
any loss in the Frost era.
It might be worse than any loss in the Frost era because there was never a belief that we were making any progress.
Michigan in year one or two, the game where Frost said we hit just as hard or whatever and they still smoked us. Like that was pretty bad.
Yeah,
I can't remember. It was year one or year two of Frost when we got smoked by Michigan, but that's the only one that comes to mind. It goes back to Riley era. Like there was a Penn State and an Iowa beating in there. Like this, this is back there.
I think a couple things come to mind for me when and again, this is frustrating for so many reasons. Riley, in 2016, Riley's second year team started off 7-0. And I think we all kind of knew that was
a little,
little
fraudulent.
Bit of little fraudulent.
Yeah.
We really, really didn't play anyone.
No.
But then the losses in the back half of that season, we got completely blown out by Ohio State. We got manhandled by Iowa. We lost badly in the bowl game to Tennessee.
Yeah.
All of those felt pretty bad. Like it was sort of like, oh, whoa, like, okay, hold on. I didn't think we were this bad. Like I thought we started 7-0. We thought we were at least, you know, okay here. I think the reason this one hits so hard is because of the genuine belief that we felt like things were going in the right direction for Matt Rhule's program. And also this, we thought this defense could keep us in just about any game that we played. You know, like it felt like if things got away from us against Ohio State, that's one thing. I absolutely did not expect Indiana to hang 56 points on us and us to completely, completely put our tail between our legs and just give up.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they've got to figure out something. Well, across all phases of the game after today, they've got to figure out something in all three phases. But it looks to me, and again, we're not X's and O's experts, but it looks to me like Nebraska on defense needs to figure out a way to stop teams that are really good at the quick passing game. When the quarterback's taking 3 to 5 to 7 step drops, I'm comfortable with our guys getting home. Okay. There wasn't a whole lot of that today. I mean, it was a quick fake and throwing it right away, or quick getting the snap and throwing it right away to on some of these pass plays. So, but then the leaks in the run game, like that's, I don't know how we explain that. Like it was bad. It was pretty bad.
I said that we can't freaking sleepwalk like we did during that opening sequence of the Purdue game. And I knew from the second after they scored and they kicked off to us and we had that blunder down on the 1 yard line, I knew that this game was already going in a terrible direction. I had lost all confidence in what we were doing. And I felt like we were just doing the exact same thing we did. We just weren't awake. We were just in a fog out there. And
that's a really good point, Geoff. Like it sort of felt like from the early going, you know, they went for it on 4th and 2 on their first drive, got it. Then they ended up scoring a touchdown. Then we make that stupid special teams play. I mean, Ja'Cory Barney's been great. He's a true freshman, but that, you know, comes down to coaching as much as anything. So our first drive kind of stopped before it even started. And then like, it just sort of felt like early on, what they're up 7-0, they're up 14-0. Even when we scored to make it 14-7, it sort of felt like we're going to have to like score just about every time we get the ball to stay in this thing. And it felt like one of those games from the Frost era where everybody kind of knew or from early on, we're not going to win this.
And I think the frustrating part is, and not really frustrating, we can be fully on board and appreciate everything that Matt Rhule has done for Nebraska football up to this point, and yet still nitpick, complain, and be disappointed in this performance. Like it was so bad. Like nobody should be exempt from complaints when their team performs that way at all.
Right.
Especially after a bye week. You've got 12, 13 days to prepare for your next opponent, and you come out looking like you just played 5 days ago. Like that, you can't have that. You just can't.
No, and I don't know if it's on. No, go ahead, Mario. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just gonna say I don't know if it's. We've got a lot of really talented and experienced players. We got to remember too, like even some of our guys on the outside, Banks and Nair. Like this is their first year with these coaches. Like you're going to have these things, but you don't expect it to get that bad.
No, let me take this in a different direction, Matteo.
Please.
I feel like we have bent over backwards to be fair and reasonable. And
100%.
We are not like, we don't try to like generate hot takes on this podcast just to get more eyeballs on the pod.
No.
Right. We have been defenders of Coach Rhule and the coaching staff and whatever else. Let me tell you, and again, I'm not calling, like, I see this calls on Twitter to fire Foley, the special teams coordinator, and to fire Satterfield, the $1.4 million man offensive coordinator, and fire Gary McGuire, the wide receivers coach. Newsflash, common fans, none of that's happening during the season. No. We can have a conversation in the offseason about what changes might need to be made.
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably not finish this episode without criticizing Satterfield a lot more. Don't get me wrong, but like nobody's getting fired. Okay. So let's be clear on that. No one's getting fired right now. And again, that's usually not a sign of a healthy program. Husker fans more than anyone can testify to what instability comes with firing a bunch of coaches over and over.
And we so, know.
But let me also say then, with that context of how we've been supporters of Rule and the staff and everything else, this was completely unacceptable.
Yes.
This is not okay. Like Husker fans shell out too much money. They support this team too much. They build their Saturdays around these games to watch these games. And I'm here's what I found myself thinking. We talk about, well, you know, they're learning how to win. When they barely get by Rutgers 14, this is what learning how to win looks like.
Yeah.
They're learning how to win when they're down 3-0 to Purdue in the middle of the third quarter. You know what? It took Indiana one off season to learn
to figure that
out. That's the frustrating part. It took Indiana
one off season.
Yeah. Right? Like we've bagged on Dion for thinking he can do it and turn around. Kurt Cignetti is doing it right now.
Kurt Cignetti's absolutely doing it.
He's doing it. They're 7-0. Yeah, he brought a bunch of James Madison players, but guess what? They won a load of games. They won a shit load of games at James Madison.
I mean, those James Madison players just completely tossed us around at both lines.
That receiver, Surratt, like he's one of the best receivers we've faced all year. Oh,
some of those back shoulder, I will say to their credit, like let's give Indiana a little bit of credit. They're good. Some of those back shoulder throws, there's nothing a good, like they were well covered and those guys were just making plays.
Still making those grabs.
Yeah. So let's give them some credit where it's due. But again, 56-7 is completely inexcusable. Yeah. And I think what's frustrating for Husker fans is it just leaves you with this feeling of like, where are we? Here we go again. Yeah. You know, like here, like we thought we were at least making progress. Again, I don't think any of us felt 100% certain we were going to win this game. We all knew it was a possibility we would lose this game.
It's just the way that we lost it. Yeah, it's just the way that we lost it.
You know what? I mean? we can handle losing, guys. Like we've been losing. But not like that. Like, my God, like, I'd stomach a 14-17 point loss. Like, yeah, that's fine. Like, as long as we made it interesting at some point in the game, that was never interesting. It was like as soon as the first quarter was over, it's like, oh, this is not good. Yeah. You know?
And
you can trace it back. Like, we are too fragile of a team. I think there's still a lot of mental fragility in this team. And was it not just 7-0 when Dowdell fumbled? We were moving the ball down the field. Wasn't it 7-0?
Boy, we really
fumbled. It was either 7-0 or 14-0. It was early though. We were still in it. We were very much still in it.
And in the red zone.
After this game,
we are so fragile. It's kind of one of those things like, well, you know, we always play this game of like, well, if this didn't happen or that did happen or blah blah blah, but as fragile as we are as a team, if we get that first down and go down and score, make it 7-7, you just wonder if the game could have been a little bit different. I said it sometime over the last couple of weeks. I think this team is going to be the type of team that has to punch first and strike first because they are so mentally fragile. We talked about it. Brandon Vogel had some brilliant stuff on this about the psychology of this team. So many of our older players have lost so many games. And it's the human element. You can't tell me a couple of bad things happen and it starts to snowball a little bit that you just don't go, oh crap, we've been here before. And up to this point, like it really hasn't gotten too bad, right? When those things start happening today, it just snowballed and became a freaking avalanche, man.
Yeah. It felt like, I'm not sure it would have mattered the way everything played out
probably
today.
Probably not.
But to your point, like we went for it on fourth down early, didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Dowdell fumble at the worst possible time. Handful of penalties at the worst possible times. Yeah, I'm not sure it ends up mattering today. But like the turnover bug hasn't really reared its head
until
now.
We had that fixed, right?
We worked on that turnover margin today big time.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, we brought that thing came back down to earth.
Wow.
Let me tell you what else. And the defense completely laid an egg today and they don't get a pass for that. Don't get me wrong. They got receivers were wide open all day long. They got completely gashed in the run game. I mean, those guys were going for 10, 15, 20 yards. The tackling was piss poor. Like, the defense was bad. But you feel like at least Tony White and the Blackshirts have earned the benefit of the doubt a little bit, right? Am I like right? Like
I thought,
they.
I thought you were going to say, "Hey, at least we'll probably have Tony White for one more year."
Well, we probably will.
We will.
He's moving down the list of potential head coaches for other.
Hey,
programs.
We need some cohesion, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We don't
that's
really right. want to take it this way, but we'll
I mean,
take
you at least there's at least like documentable evidence to say they will bounce back.
And
maybe against Ohio State. Maybe, you know, maybe not, but
I doubt it.
I think,
yeah, maybe not. But I think for most of the other games on the schedule, there's reason to believe the defense will be better. Geoff, go ahead, sir.
No, I hope that you're
right. I'm going to a second point about this anyway. Go ahead, Geoff.
The only point I was going to make is we've had this conversation after multiple games already this season where I feel like we've talked about how the defense hasn't done a good enough job more than they've done a good job, in my opinion. We've got the Colorado game. Did awesome, but we were bitching about Northern Iowa the week after that about how they didn't step their game up that way. We were bitching about during the Purdue game, and I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know. I think we give him a lot more benefit of the doubt than I think we even realize. To be honest with you, he does a good job, but this does tend to seem to be a trend for us right now. Is that we're constantly having
pretty?
Well, they do a good job.
I get what you're saying. I think we were pretty nitpicky with the Northern Iowa and Purdue, though. You look back and like we gave 3 points in Northern Iowa.
Sure.
I mean, Purdue didn't score until very late. Like, so I think we'd expect greatness, to be honest with you. We should not. Like, we should expect good. We should expect above average because that's where we're at.
It also raises the question of like Purdue's offense is bad. Rutgers offense is bad.
Yeah.
Like it kind of raises the question, Illinois and Indiana are the two best teams we've played. And those are the two worst defensive performances we've seen so far. So it kind of raises the question, maybe the 3-3-5 and the Tony White magic is only extends so far. It only extends to really bad Big Ten West. Well,
and you know, I was thinking like bad on me, like, okay, Indiana's more like kind of like to spread it out and do it a little bit more like Colorado. And we did really well against Colorado, but Colorado did not even try to run the ball. Like Indiana's like, we're going to do whatever the hell it takes to get the ball down the field and beat you and take chunks out of your defense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what to think, guys. I do think there, in terms of looking forward, there are teams that we match up with pretty well. So I'm not going down that road of like, dear God, are we going to win another game? Like, yeah,
no, I think that's
match up better with some of these teams. We'll match up well with Wisconsin and Iowa, to be honest with you. Yeah. So I don't know.
The only thing I was concerned if we're talking about defense right now is just, for instance, like when their quarterback hurt his hand, like they still gashed us on the run after that. Because I figured that. Us as fans would think, I was screaming at the TV. I'm like, okay, he can't throw it anymore. We're just going to have to load it up in the middle and stop the run now. And they still were gashing us.
Yeah, no, running they were wise. Fine.
After that, we couldn't do anything.
They
so
were just fine.
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous about it now. It's after this, especially if you say we give them the benefit of the doubt and then put that score up on the screen. Like, oh, we'll give them we give them the benefit of the doubt if we lost by like two touchdowns. But that's pretty bad.
No, we lost
that's
by seven.
Fair. That's fair. Like I inexcusable performance. Don't get me wrong. Where I was going with that was the offense and the $1.4 million man, Marcus Satterfield.
Yep.
And how he has not earned the benefit of the doubt.
No.
And he hasn't been good since he's been here. And look, even the optimism at the beginning of this year was based on what we did against the first three games, which were not against Big Ten defenses.
Yeah.
Since we've gone into Big Ten play, we've only I guess you could say they were pretty good against Illinois. They figured it out in the second half against Purdue, but they scored 0 points. Like it's sort of gotten worse and worse in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
And like, Let me throw this out there again, a hot take alert. I don't want to hear it again about how you're committed to the run game.
No.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
So I was going to say the exact
Get
same thing
out of here. I was like, going to, but you're a fraud.
Yeah.
And then, no. and let me tell you something. I love Dylan Raiola. I still believe he might win 17 Heismans before it's all said and done. Him dropping back 8 plays in a row is not going to get you where you want to go.
No.
And so he says he committed to the run, but we abandon it immediately. We start passing it. Then the game gets out of hand and you have no choice but to pass it. You're just freaking screwed.
Yeah. Look at the very first series when Barney made that boneheaded play and caught it and stepped out at the one, the first, 6 plays, 5 were passes. The one run we had went for 4 or 5 3 or 4 and got us some space. And then it was just like, okay, now we're just going to try to dink and dunk this out of our own territory. I hate that.
Gus Johnson said
be
it.
Be a man, be like, a damn man and go hat on hat and run the damn ball, kill some clock, give your defense a rest. Satterfield is not, we've talked many times about complimentary football. That is not complimentary football. We are saying we want to be tough and run the ball and play complimentary football. They are not. They're not doing that. And I personally blame Satterfield for it because the play calling does not go with that. Does not coincide with them saying that. So figure it out. We have no identity. We have no identity.
Well, that's exactly right. Geoff, what did you say?
No, I just said Gus Johnson said to your point there, Owens, like you should probably run the ball in that situation. And he said it too. He goes, oh, they're in their own end zone. They better have big confidence in their quarterback if they're going to let him start throwing it out of their own end zone as a true freshman. And sure enough, we started throwing out of our own end zone right away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh my. And we got lucky too. That fourth down grab third down grab to get the first down.
That was a phenomenal catch by Fedoni. Yeah.
Fedoni had a great game by all accounts. He missed the block, but Fedoni was fine. He might be the only guy that would maybe deserve a corn cob today.
Yeah. And then we punted it, Jeff, 3 plays later, though, mind you.
Yeah.
Even late in the game when the game was over, I can't remember, it was like 42-7 or 49-7, but we still were moving the ball down the field, and it was first and goal at the 5, and we went incomplete pass, handoff for a loss of a yard, sack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that sums up watching Marcus Satterfield's offense.
Yeah.
The guy completely has not earned the benefit of the doubt. The offense was atrocious last year and they're below average this year. Like I know they went and got, I don't care. I see this stuff on Twitter.
Right.
And I see people say, oh, they're not committed to the run game, so they can't run. And then I see people say other defenses, all they have to do is stack the box because Banks and Nayer and Barney and Jalen Lloyd can't get open. I sort of refuse to believe that.
Yeah.
Like, are you like Jalen Lloyd and Ja'Cory Barney in particular, two of like the fastest guys on the planet. Banks and Nayer have been really good. Like, I sort of refuse to believe that no one can get open.
Do you see the
pass interference calls, like clearly defenders are having to grab our guys because they get beat. But so I don't know. So I guess what I'm saying is where does that leave us? Why is the offense so inept?
Good coaching and good schemes gets players open. I know these guys are fast and athletic. It's not always just like, okay, you got to burn this one guy. Like you have to have good play calling. You have to run one play to potentially, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but it's setting up another play. It's all a big chess match. Okay. Yeah. And when the defense and the defensive coordinator have a really good idea of what you do, hey, these guys are going to abandon the run. And then it's like, okay, let's go. Pin our ears back. Let's go get Raiola. That's easy to defend.
I know, exactly, right? When they know they're not going to run it anymore, they just come at you as hard as they can.
Right. Yep. It's like, okay, once we're up 14-0, Satterfield's just going to try to air it out now. Like, that's so easy to defend.
Let me tell you guys what else. Harburg came in pretty early on about a 2nd and 10, and he ran like an option play, and they got 9 yards, and it was 3rd and 1. And I'm trying to remember exactly what happened there. I don't think we got it on 3rd and 1. And I'm trying to remember if it was one of those where we didn't get it on. I don't remember what the next sequence was. But Dylan's the guy. Dylan is the future. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have Harburg take over like a few series? Like what, like
go 2 for 1 or something like that.
Dylan like let him run. Let him run. If you're going to bring him in, let him run a whole series, because if teams are preparing for one thing, which is Dylan Raiola and a pro style offense, and then you bring in a really athletic running quarterback and sort of a more option scheme, then again, I'm like, why don't we like do more of that? Like, just so, especially in a game like today where it's slipping away, especially yeah. when mm-hmm. suddenly when it's 21-7. How about this? How about when it's 21-7? Here was a big miss. 21-7. We get the ball with under 4 minutes to go in the first half. We know we're going to get it on the kickoff coming out of halftime. Mm-hmm. So I texted the guys. I texted our group of buddies, the Fantasy Football League, the Pie High crew. And I said, at the very least, don't give them the ball back. Yeah. And what did we do? We went three and out.
Yep.
We went three and out. Yes. How about on that one, you bring Harburg in? A more run-based, like, get some first down. Again, ideally you get points, God forbid. But at the very least, hang on to the ball, go into halftime down 21-7, knowing you're getting the ball back to start the second half. I feel like mentally that's a big difference between going three and out, giving them the ball back, giving up another touchdown, and going mm-hmm. into halftime 28-7.
100%. Yeah. Like, you're sounding too reasonable. You sound like you'd be a good football coach, TJ, because all it is on calling offensive plays is knowing who you need to get the ball to and how are you going to do it. You have your guys that you know can get you yards, and you just got to figure out how to get them the ball in space. Like, that's all it is. That's all it is.
We're playing PlayStation football now, though, too, you guys. Like, I think the game would be a little bit different if we can just kick a field goal and get some sort of points out of some drives every once in a while. We have to go for it every time now. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, you can go back and look at what if. Like, we could have made it 7-3. On the first series.
Or 21-10 or 21-13 or something like that. Like, just anything to make it a little bit more reasonable. And they're playing like I do at home, where I'm just like, screw it, I'm not going to kick it. Somebody's down there somewhere.
especially on the new game, the kicking is so – I've played like 10 games maybe total. The kicking is so damn hard. You would just say, forget it. It's 4th and 21. I'm going to throw a bomb.
Right. But that is a really good point. Like, we could have kicked to make it 7-3.
Did we even try a field goal today? We didn't.
In this game, I'm not sure it matters, but I think it matters to the team and whether or not they're going to quit and give up to like, if you're going in halftime, instead of 21, like you said, Jeff, instead of 21-7, maybe it's, or 28-7, maybe it's 21-10 or 21-13 or whatever. And like, you're hanging around.
Or 28-13. Mm-hmm. Like, you're still down two scores and a two-pointer.
Right. Again, like, I maybe doesn't end up mattering today because we clearly could not get any stops on defense. But there's just so much this team doesn't do well. And some of it should not be this bad in year two. And I don't care who the head coach is.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? Motivationally, organizationally, everything Matt Rhule says, I'm still eating it up. I'm still drinking the Rhule-Aid.
Yeah.
But the scheming and the play calling and what happens on the field has to catch up to that. That's where I'm at. Like, everything I'm being sold, I'm buying. But what happens on the field, I've got to see them being a little bit smarter with how they're using their playmakers on offense, and I see them like adjust on defense. Like, we went into this thing, like, I'm thinking like Tony White's really good at in-game adjustments. Like, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just didn't seem like they ever happened, or whatever they said that they were going to try to do and adjust on. Instead, it just like looked the same the whole game.
I'm glad you said that, Matt, about Matt Rhule and what he says. Maybe it's because we're fresh off a loss, so I'm just still frustrated. But the quote things, like, I'm kind of starting to get annoyed of the, with every loss like this, if I see a thing that says, if we die, we die, it's really starting to kind of get under my skin now. Those things start to piss me off after a while. And did you guys see what he said right after the game? He just said, I didn't see this coming at all.
He did apologize too. I appreciate the apology.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing you can say after a loss like that to make the fans feel better about it.
Exactly. Really, how would you feel, Jeff, if he said, you know what, I was worried this would happen.
I saw this coming.
I knew this was going to happen.
I saw this coming all week.
I don't know. It's one of those things where we constantly praise him for his quotes, and he's got all these awesome inspirational quotes. And then shit like this happens, and it drives me freaking nuts. I'm still on the train, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
It's frustrating.
It's so frustrating. And oh, let me, since we're airing grievances here, let me say one more thing. And I'm sure you could find examples to disprove what I'm about to say. But like, how many times going back to Riley, maybe even going back to Pelini, how many times have we been in this place where it's like, okay, we're better now. Okay, we're turning a corner now. Okay, we're in a big game on national TV. It's prove it time. And not only do we not prove it, we
go so far the opposite. Yes.
We go so far in the opposite direction.
We shoot ourselves in the foot and then throw up all over ourselves and shit ourselves. Like it's just like the worst possible things that could happen. Just when we're feeling okay.
Yeah,
here we go.
We don't just trip over our appendage. We stomp all over it.
Yeah.
With cleats. Really
hurt. With cleats. So it's just so frustrating. And like it has spanned coaching staffs. It has spanned roster turnover. It has happened again and again and again. And again, like I think also, this might sound weird. I think the frustrating thing is this feeling of like, where do we go from here? Because no one is saying to fire Coach Rhule.
No,
I'm not even. No. You could even convince me that he doesn't need to fire a bunch of these assistants like people want him to. Whatever he decides in the offseason, that's up to him to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
So that's right. I think that's right. As we said before, like firing coaches has not been the sign of a healthy program, and it doesn't always get you to something better. We know that better than anyone, Husker fans. But then you're left with, okay, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Like,
so let me ask you this question, TJ, what's
left for this team?
Yeah. So I know the answer you're going to get, but I just want to throw this out there. Your running quote has been, it's time to believe in Nebraska football again. Do you still believe in it? Do you still believe?
Ooh, that's Geoff. Great one. I wish you had cheated and told me you were going to ask me that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to go yes. I'm going to go yes, because otherwise that would mean giving up on Rhule entirely, and I'm not ready to do that. And I still think we get to a bowl game. I think, you know, it's like we're recording this shortly after the Indiana game. So there's still stuff left to play out on the college football landscape. But so far today, UCLA has beat Rutgers 35-32. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
So suddenly this UCLA team we thought was dormant is showing signs of life. And, you know, we couldn't muster more than 14 points against Rutgers. So I do, you find yourself, where do I find at least one more win to get to bowl eligibility? What about two or three more wins to get to 7 or 5? I think, Geoff, part of what we're going to need to see here is how this team bounces back, and this is going to be a mold process, because I don't expect it to against Ohio State, if I'm being perfectly honest.
No.
Did we lose him?
We're 5-3 with plenty left to play. And we've got UCLA left. We got and it's 3 on the year. What's that? You guys hear me?
You kind of froze there for a minute.
Yeah, but you're back now.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I'm
gathering from you here is that you still do believe and that you love the Huskers and that we're going to still.
I think it's still. Game. Yeah, it's still. Maybe
time. We're
going to beat Ohio State. We're going to make the playoff.
I don't want to be that guy that is like going into a Husker football Saturday, like, well, I wonder how bad we'll get beat today.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Nobody likes that guy.
I will never be that guy. Next week I will muster up enough self-confidence and self-esteem to still put on my Husker red, even though knowing we're going into Columbus. And Geoff, I'm sorry, your upset prediction is not going to freaking happen. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bloody. And I'm still going to be like that thing where like the clown's putting on his clown makeup. That's going to be me putting on my Husker gear next week. I'm going to do it every single week, and it doesn't freaking matter. So I said, I think it was last week, let's enjoy the ride. We've got 5 games left, and we're going to see how good our coaches are.
Yeah.
We're going to see what kind of talent we have. That part's still exciting to me.
On that note, Matteo, like, I can't stand when I see, and it's like this, I love you all out there. Like, we get texts from people and we see it on Twitter when people are like, we'll be lucky to get to 6 wins. Like, why are you, then don't even watch, right? Like, other than Ohio State, which I don't feel good about, we can win any game for the rest of the season. I'm not saying we
Or for
will,
grabs.
not saying we will. But I think, like, let's see what this team bounces back with. Let's see how they respond to this. Clearly, we've made this point before. Clearly, we get up to 3-0 start after, and after the big Colorado win, people were saying, oh, they're going to be 7-0 going into Ohio State. Clearly, we're not as good as we thought we were. That doesn't mean we can't beat Iowa. That doesn't mean we can't beat Wisconsin.
No,
Neither, like, both those teams have multiple losses. Both of those teams are not ranked right now.
right.
You know, like, we're not talking
We
about playing Ohio State soon.
don't be Randy Quaid from Major League Two. Nobody likes that guy, all right? Don't be
Exactly.
that
Exactly.
guy. We'll blow it
Exactly.
in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're
Exactly.
not turning into the
So,
parking lot.
but Jeff, I resent you making me say that I still believe in Nebraska football when all I wanted to do was bitch about everything during this episode. So I
We have
really
to have
resent
something
that.
positive to say, right?
Yeah.
Oh, by the
No,
way,
and
I just
then
thought of something. I thought of something right now. I didn't realize this until we started the game. You're telling me that there's another fake Memorial Stadium out there? Just another
I
one?
know. I
I was
didn't
like,
know
what?
either.
What?
It's a very common name. I think Oklahoma has Memorial Stadium too, don't they?
Good
Yeah.
Lord.
Lots of
Get your
memorials
own
out there.
ideas,
Get your own ideas,
thieves.
people. Another fake Memorial Stadium.
And the other thing, in this new crazy college football world, you don't know what team's going to show up week to week. It doesn't matter who you are. Even the Bamas and the Georgias, and I mean Texas is pretty, and Oregon have been pretty damn good all year, but other than that, like, who the hell knows?
Yeah, you
Who the
never
hell
know.
knows
Every
if we don't
Saturday is different.
go 4-1 the rest of the way, or even 3-2? Like,
Yeah. Well, think about this, guys. Think about it. And we contemplated this on a previous episode. Let's say we lose to Ohio State and beat UCLA. Neither of those things are guaranteed, but neither of them are unreasonable either. Let's say we're 6-3 going into our final 3 games against USC, Wisconsin, and Iowa.
give it to me.
Well, you're playing meaningful games in November, right? Like, you can win any
Sure.
of those games, might just lose any of
That's
them,
what we
right?
were
But
talking
like,
about.
we can beat Iowa every year. The Iowa game, throw out the records. Like, the Iowa game's a coin flip every year. Wisconsin's really hard to make, it's hard to know what to make of Wisconsin. They've looked much better lately, but I wouldn't like chalk that up as a loss to Minnesota. And again, we're recording this shortly after the Indiana game, so who knows how this will play out. But this currently, they're up 14
Sounds like the Micro Machines guy.
on Maryland
I
in the
know, it's
second quarter.
incredible.
So who knows?
Your
Maybe
audio
there's something there.
like cuts, and then it like catches up. So you're like, it sounds like you're talking really fast, like the old
Yeah.
Micro
What are you guys
Machines
talking about?
guy. TJ
Oh, man. I'm
is in
sorry,
Los
guys. It must be, I'm in a
Angeles,
hotel. Oh, yeah. You're
in a
in
hotel
internet
room
connection
in
to the
Los
stadium. You don't
Angeles.
say.
He's
You
using the
don't
room's
say.
Wi-Fi. He's
Stupid West Coast,
he's going he's
LA.
cutting out, and then he's cutting the audio's catching up. He's sounding like a Micro Machines guy,
Where are you staying at, like a
and
hostel or something like that? Are you in danger right now? Where are you? Are you
and now
staying
he's
at Skid
frozen. Now
Row?
he's frozen again.
Oh
No, I'm in a
no.
lovely hotel, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay, good.
This
I'm just
is like
checking.
when
Can you guys see me?
Bob Uecker, what does he pass out or goes down, and then Monty has to chime
Yeah.
in. Fly ball caught.
Cut.
You
Yeah,
guys hear
this
me?
is. I can. You keep cutting in and out, Teej, but I can't hear you. Say something
It's
else.
in and out.
Let's just wrap this thing up.
Let's get out of here. Nobody's listening
This
anyway.
isn't.
The hell with it.
All right. Let's jump to corn. Does anybody deserve a corn cob?
No,
My
maybe Fedonia.
family deserves one for putting up with me screaming. Like, I shouldn't be that pissed off at 11 a.m. in the morning screaming at a television, but here we are. So kudos to them for putting up with me for most of the day.
Oh,
My family gets the corn cob. There they go.
I'll give one to
Matteo.
Fedoni. We'll go Fedoni. He had some good catches. He looked like the only guy that wanted to freaking play football today.
Yeah, probably best game of the year for Fedoni. I don't think anybody else deserves it. So yeah, I'll give it to Husker fans for
there you go
for sticking
having
in there.
To
this bullshit.
For sticking in there and having to weather that complete and total absolute garbage. Yeah, I mean, just really, 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 really terrible all the way around, boys.
Yeah. Well, how fitting that the Huskers blew one big time today. TJ's internet connection sucks, man. What a day, huh? What a great day.
That means a lot coming from you, Phil Hellmuth, with the shades on.
I'm in mourning, all right? I'm suffering here. I cried a lot today. I don't want
you
to
see. Yeah, I bet you are. I bet you're crying real crocodile tears with your Notre Dame quarter zip on.
Yeah,
exactly. Hope Georgia Tech takes them to the woodshed in the second half.
I had Husker gear on. I had to take it off. What do you want me to keep it on after that?
For the Husker football podcast, yeah, maybe you keep the Husker gear on, win or lose.
There's a game
together
on
in all kinds of weather.
Okay?
All right, Common fans. Well,
oh no,
to Indiana 67. Am I cutting out again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Right now we can.
Matty, us off.
Common fans, we'll be back later
right,
this
can you
week.
Hear me?
Oh, there he is. You know what? We'll be back later this week. We're going to do one with Evan Bland, I believe, and that'll be out midweek.
View from the Bland stands, baby.
View from the Bland stands. We'll be previewing Ohio State and talking about maybe how it won't be a bloodbath. And what it looks like for Husker football moving forward in all of our emotions and our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, as always, GBR for life.
GBR for life. I wanted to say it too.
'Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.